start your day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
Good morning and welcome to our morning show on WRCO. Today we begin a busy week here on the program. In the studio is Mayor Todd Coppernall, Mayor of the City of Richland Center. How you doing?
Doing great, Phil. Thanks for having me on again.
Good to have you on the day after Groundhog's Day, and I guess 6 more weeks of winter either way, right?
A lot of people haven't figured that out, but it kind of means the same thing either way. And with the winter like we've been having, it's not such a big deal anymore either, right,
no.
Phil?
It isn't.
Like the winters of our youth.
I know it. But I guarantee you, when I'm out there at that first Richland Center baseball game, first of April, there'll be snow on the sidelines.
And that wind in your face, no matter exactly what direction it's coming from, in your face.
It always happens. So how's your family doing?
Before we get to that, I was talking to Hank Bray out in the lobby, and I told him, before I left the house this morning, my buddy called me. He said, Todd, I bought one of those new cars that drives itself. I said, it's amazing. Where is it? He said, I have no idea. So my day got off to a bit of a weird start, but anyway.
It took off.
Yeah, Henry wanted me to tell that on the air, so there we go. All right, so my family, thanks for mentioning that. I wanted to just take a quick minute to thank all of the people in town who've reached out. My mom had ovarian cancer and had a pretty complex surgery about 10 days ago now, and is now home healing, and prognosis is surgery got all of the cancer out. They're 100% certain of that. They'll do chemo when she's ready to do it. We don't have dates for that yet. And then it's a form of cancer where you just sort of wait and see, because in some people it never returns, in others it does. But the surgeon told me exactly these words. The surgery did what it should do. The chemo will do what it should do. And then this is just an unpredictable cancer. But my point today is two things. One, thank you to so many people who've asked questions, expressed concern, and offered support to the family. But also, and this is from my mom to anyone who can hear my voice, listen to your body, be an advocate for yourself. The reason this cancer was discovered was because she did that and went to the doctor, not at all expecting it to be cancer. But then in hindsight as well, she recognizes now that some rather simple symptoms had occurred in her life. The things that it wasn't pain. There was no, bleeding anywhere, no open sores, all the things they teach you about cancer. She didn't have any of those, but just some increased fatigue kind of stuff going on. And she just said, well, I'm not as young as I used to be. As it turns out, that is a primary symptom of what was going on in her body. She just didn't know that. So her message was simply, get to the doctor when you can, consistently do that, do your once a year physical. And if something has changed, even if it seems innocent enough, tell your doctor that something's new. Tell them what it is, because the confirmation that mom had cancer actually came, led to the confirmation, came from a blood test that they could have done earlier. Yeah, had there been a suspicion or a reason to do it. So anyway, that message from my mom is advocate for yourself and pay attention to how you're feeling. And my message to Richland Center is thank you so much for the support.
Awesome. Glad to hear that she's doing better. You had a community forum the other night. I know you recently had some tributes to Marty Brewer as well. You wanted to talk about that a little bit.
I did. And I did say this at that community forum the other night, and we'll touch more on that forum in a minute. In 2020, I was elected to my first term as mayor, and Marty had just been elected to his first term as the county board chair, and he and I did not know one another. And we were both on the Natatorium Board, which oversees the Simon Center, and so we both were at the courthouse walking in, because those meetings happen in the county boardroom, and Marty stopped me and introduced himself. He said, hello, Mayor, my name's Marty Brewer, and I'm the new county board chair. Hey, he said, I think we can do a better job. He said, I think the relationship between the city of Richland Center and Richland County can be better than what it is. And I said, I think so too. He said, I'm really glad you said that. Let's talk later. And what happened was this really just informal, when there was a reason to call, sort of series of phone conversations between he and I, just when anything was worth talking about, which led to a once-a-month lunch that incorporated the two administrators, the city and county administrators with Marty and I. And that led to, I called Steve Board and Aaron Unbehan, the school district administrator and the school board president, and invited them to come down to the city building one evening and sit in the conference room with Marty and I. And let's get the schools into this. What can we all do? Because we all represent the same people, right? Let's do what we can to be as efficient as we can. And out of that meeting, it took time, but out of that initial conversation, that led to the school district owning East Hall, which had been a county property, part of the campus that they weren't going to use anymore. And the school district put their new school in there that is now helping them grow enrollment, where Richland School District had been falling in enrollment for some time. That's not true now. And Steve Board told everybody that the other night. They're at a plus going into next fall. Enrollment at our high school will be in positive territory for the first time in a while. And one of the reasons for that is the fact that they were able to get East Hall and expand what they can offer students. And that whole thing indirectly started because Mr. Marty Brewer introduced himself to me in the courthouse parking lot and just said, what can we do to make things better? And through the time that he was board chair and I was mayor at the same time, a lot of things improved between the two entities and the school district. And there will be some more opportunities that will benefit everybody who lives here. There's more things we're all working on. And he was, I don't know that he foresaw that's what it would lead to, but he was the catalyst. So my message to everyone in Richland County is that Marty Brewer believed in this place, the city, the townships. He believed in Richland County. He fought for us, all of us. And he recognized the challenges, and he had the nerve to say things that irritated people because they happened to be the truth. So when it was time to make hard choices, he didn't dance. He didn't sort of say what he thought to keep people happy. He just said, this is where we are, and this is what we're going to have to consider. And you're not always popular when you tell the truth, but when you're an elected leader, it's your responsibility to do it. And he never blinked. Okay, I didn't agree with everything he wanted to do, and he didn't agree with everything I wanted to do. But we respected each other enough to understand that that's the roles we were filling. And we found over time we did agree on most things. And I it takes a man of conviction. The county got lucky. Dave Turk followed Marty and is a very similar man in that respect, in those respects. But I just wanted to spend a minute on the air here to publicly acknowledge and thank Marty Brewer for his massive contributions to Richland County. And he passed recently, and it made me very sad to hear the news. So to the family and friends of my good friend Marty Brewer, I thought he was a great man, and I admire the effort he put into trying to help this county. Thank you, Marty Brewer.
Well said. Yeah, he leaves quite a legacy. Getting back to the community forum, then, as we talk about that, I know that you had one a year ago that was very well attended, probably better attended because of the referendum, but you still had a good turnout, didn't you?
We did. So last year we tried something new, which came from what I just described, these meetings that are regularly held now that involve city, school district, county, and sometimes now we've got the Simons Foundation involved, too. Just what can we do and how can we do it and what's going on in your building? And so last year we had the first community forum, and last year we had two of them, one in the at 11 a.m. and one at 6 p.m. This year we just did one at 6 p.m. just to see how things would go. Well attended, and the whole point of it is for city, county, schools, everybody to give updates to the community on what we're doing. And then, too, it's open forum. Ask questions because we're all right there in front of you. We do this in the banquet hall at the bowling alley. And we're all up in the front. And Ron Fruit moderates. Somebody told me he'd had a career in communication at some point. He does a great job. He does a great job. And it goes really well because it really is a chance for all of us to explain what we're working on so people can know. And we take a lot of questions. All of us get a lot of value out of it. And then it leads to the public being more engaged, which is a big deal to all of us. Again, last year, the school district, Mr. Board, gave a long presentation, a PowerPoint presentation to everyone explaining the referendum. And this year, he didn't want to take the center stage again. he said, well, somebody else take the lead. And as it happened, recent news out of the school district had just, you know, improved test scores, growing enrollment, all these positives had come to light. So he kind of wound up in the spotlight a little bit again, which is just the way it was. It's happenstance. It's just where things were when we got there. But Steve gave a great update. Dave Turk, the county board chair, talked quite a lot about the campus property because, as you can imagine, they get a ton of questions about that. And I spoke about projects we're working on at the city, the Panorama Estates apartments, the what we're calling the Lamont subdivision, an effort to get about 23 new houses built. A couple of, I didn't name them, and I'm sorry, but I won't today either. A couple of retailers that are interested in Richland Center that we're trying to get done. Things like that, that we're all working on. Great. We'll do it again, whether it's annual or becomes, you know, a couple times a year, perhaps. We'll keep doing those because it benefits the public, but it also benefits all of us to hear from all of you.
It does. Was there a common question? Anything that came of that?
A lot of questions about the campus, mm-hmm. which that's not going to stop until that's resolved. And I understand that. One thing that we were all asked is where's the best information source? And everybody kind of gave the same answers. We all have good, up-to-date websites that you can utilize. Obviously, all the meetings we hold are open to the public, things like that. There's a lot of good Facebook pages. So, like, the Sheriff's Department has one. The Police Department has one. City Government does. The Parks Department does, and so on. Those you should be able to consider to be credible. And what I said, listen to the news on WRCO and read the Richland Observer. Those two local media outlets cover the city council, the county board, the school board, every meeting. If you want accurate information, go there. That's our local media. And I said exactly this. If you're getting your news from a Facebook gossip group, thank you in advance for changing your habits.
but I think it's important for all of us to work together, us and the paper, but also anybody that's just putting something on Facebook. I think they have to know that you've got to cover all the bases, really, in this area to get the word out about something.
Yeah, you do. And that's why we use Facebook. We use our website, and the county uses theirs. School district uses theirs. That's why the meetings are open to the public. That's why you folks do the news as often as you do on WRCO. That's why the Observer prints weekly with updates on all of these meetings, too. So the point is there's a lot of places, credible places, to get good information. But honestly, in the end of the day, it's up to the individual to choose a credible source. Okay? If somebody said it to you, that's not a credible source, right? If it didn't come from city government, county government, school administration, somewhere like that, you should question the validity of what you've been told. And it's just doesn't happen enough. I get bizarre questions sometimes that I don't even know how anybody could take seriously, but they get legs and they take off. And people, I'm not going to even repeat them, but people will ask me just things I just can't believe somebody took seriously, often too. And I'll just, where'd you hear that? And we'll leave it there. it's a couple of consistent sources that just do not have credibility.
For 2025, I think one of the goals is to continue the close work with the county, though, you know, the city, and moving forward with some of those things, right?
You know, I know I've said this before, and I don't care because I'm not going to stop. You can't escape this, and really pay attention to this, folks. This is never going to change where we are. Look on a map of Wisconsin counties. Just pull one up online. Look how comparatively tiny Richland County is. Look at the size of Sauk County, Iowa County, Vernon County, Grant County, Monroe County, and look at Richland County. You could fit us easily inside any of those. Easily. So I don't know who drew those maps up in the 19th century. I think somebody made somebody mad. Because we have one city. One. Sauk County, go over there. You have the Dells, Lake Delton, Reedsburg. You have Baraboo. You have Sauk City. You have the village of Spring Green. And that, think about this. If you want to know why I question why things were done the way they were, they used the Wisconsin River as a natural border, and they put Muscadet, therefore, in a different county than Richland County. Okay, got it. No problem. Then why is Spring Green in Sauk County? It's on our side of the river. You know, I mean, who did this? When you look at, really, why is the county line right in the middle of Viola? and Cazenovia's car, but why? Doesn't make any sense. Who would do that? But that's what they did. So the point is, one small county with one small city, our 5,100 people is the only city in the county. So here we go. We're married, guys. The city and the county. We can't get divorced. There's too much interdependence. It will never, ever change. It can't. You can't take a county with 18,000 people and take 5,100 of them out of there and say, this is us and you're you. You can't do that. There's not enough money for anybody to do anything. And what do you do now? So you have to work together. Think about this for a minute. Because people miss it. Because if you grew up here, you just drive by it every day. I get it. I grew up here. So look where the courthouse is with all those county offices. And look where City Hall is with all those city offices. We're essentially across the street. And the taxpayers are funding all of this. What for? I'll give you an easy question. Why are there two buildings? Why does the county have this great big courthouse structure and all that does right across the street, the Health and Human Services building, and then just skip a couple businesses, go next to Family Dollar, and there's another building that the city has? If you live in the city of Richland Center, your property taxes are supporting all three of those. Why are they in three buildings? Does that make any sense when you have the issues that rural areas have with funding? To me, it doesn't make an ounce of sense and should be addressed going forward. It doesn't make any sense. But you know how much money it costs to heat and cool things, to repair the roof, to repave the parking lot, and so on and down the list? And look at where the county wound up. And this is not me picking on them. This, I can see how it happened. With all the funding issues that rural areas get with the way state aid is handled now and so on and so on. Just rising costs through inflation. The term deferred maintenance got into the local vocabulary. What it meant was you didn't spend the money you should have spent to keep the buildings in shape. So you wind up with leaky roofs and you wind up with bad doors and old single-pane windows that aren't energy efficient and aged technology and on down the line because the money wasn't there to do this stuff. It's not, I'm not picking on anybody. It's just hard decisions had to be made. So here we are. The state did, the UW system, I believe now called the Universities of Wisconsin, made the decision to close our campus. Okay, for those of you who are still mad about that, I don't blame you and I never will. But they did it. Now the county has all those buildings, plural, all those buildings sitting there with millions of dollars needed to bring them up to speed if they chose to do it because the maintenance wasn't done. That's the whole story. End of story. That's it. Because the money wasn't there, so you kicked the can. Not picking on anybody, but you have so much money, and here's the bills. So you have to pay for your cops, right? You have to pay, you know, the register of deeds, the city clerk, on down the list, the county clerk, on down the list that you have to pay for, all the HHS services that are mandated by the state that you have to pay for, so you get to what's not mandated, and that's what you leave off the list. And when that turns out to be a roof, you got a big problem someday. Or HVAC, what if I told you that the boilers at the campus are from the 1960s? Wow. It's just what happened, okay? So can there be, are there opportunities for the city and the county perhaps to share space and share the bill so that there's less buildings to pay for and maintain? And think of it this way, too. The more properties in the city, we'll just stick there, that are not on the tax roll because they're government buildings, that's less property tax. That's less participants paying in, which means more will be asked from the people who live here and own businesses here. So you take a city block and fill it with a city building or a county building or a school. Now, obviously, we need those things. Don't misunderstand me. But if you could have been more efficient, instead of building a city building that took up a block and a county building that could have took up a block, could you have built a better, more simple structure that housed both of them on one block, and then you could put businesses or homes on that second block? You have more either homes or businesses for our people to use and enjoy, and you also have another block of taxable property paying into the system, helping keep the schools running, helping keep the county running, helping keep the city running without having to go to another referendum or without having to cut services to the people. So when you ask me why is the city and the county and the school district meeting regularly, it's because fortunately we have leadership in all three places thinking like I just explained. Hey, how do we get more efficient? Don't think that belongs to you and this belongs to me. we all represent the same people. We have responsibilities to the people who live here. How do we make this place run better? And all of us are committed to that.
Well, moving forward, you know, there's been a lot of talk about the school and maybe using the gym at the campus, which I think is still on the table, and you know, moving ahead to the future, and then the Simons maybe doing some sort of a tryout there, right?
Yeah. So what's going on out there? And I'm all for this, by the way. So the school district will tell you they need more gym space. Okay, they need more gym space. So what do you do? Do you build a new gym? That I don't know, $10 million. I don't know, I'm guessing.
That might be conservative.
Yeah, it might be. But it makes the point. Mm-hmm. Or you fix the one that's there. I don't know. I could have the wrong numbers. Let's say $2 million. I could be off. But put it this way, a fraction of what it would cost to build a new one. Hence, it makes no sense to build a new gym when our high school is right up the hill from a gym that's not being utilized. Okay, so the county and the school district are working on an agreement that would allow the school district to use the gym. Not own it yet. We're not that far. But to use it. Well, the Simons Foundation said, hey, you know what? What about us? Yeah, no kidding. They're right next door, too. And they could expand their offerings if that gymnasium, you know, was available. So they're working to be part of this, too. And it's a little premature here, but I would bet an agreement will come that would allow the school district and Simons to use it. That's not for me to decide. The county owns that property. But I would bet on it. And the reason I would is it just makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, it's right next door to Simons, and it's right down the hill from the school. You know, if you're looking for obvious ways to work together, that seems like a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah. I would like to broadcast another varsity event in there someday. So, I don't know. We'll see.
Wouldn't that be fun again?
It would.
I mean, the thing is, guys, for anyone who doesn't know this, the gym floor is in great shape.
Mm-hmm.
It was redone not that long ago. It's things like make sure the roof is good. There's some of the entrance, the doors. Last I heard, the women's showers weren't working right. And here we go. That boiler.
Yeah, heat.
It was done. I think it's the original boiler from whatever, 65, 67, whenever it was placed. So that's going to have to be addressed. Now, these things cost money. I'm not trying to tell anybody it's going to cost $50 and you move on. It's not. I am telling you, man, it's a heck of a lot less expensive to update that gymnasium than to try to build another one. And it wouldn't make any sense, because if you did build another gym at the school, now what are you going to do? Tear down the one at the camp? That's not going to happen.
No. Hey, the morning show continues in a moment with Mayor Todd Capitone from the City of Richland Center on a Monday. On a morning show from WRCO, Mayor Todd Coppernall is our in-studio guest today for his monthly visit. Well, I know you get asked often about any possible new businesses coming to Richland Center. And here we go. 2025, anything on the horizon you can talk about?
Yeah, so the right answer always makes people a little upset, and I understand why. But yes, we are working on some retail businesses. The problem is, in some cases, the retailers specifically ask us not to make their names public until it's either going to happen or it's not. Because if it doesn't, they don't want any ill will in any particular community should they try again later. And so sometimes we get some specific direction on what's okay to say and what's not. But yeah, we are. We're talking to multiple retailers. So what I can tell the people, and I know it's not what you want. You want me to get specific, and I can't. What I can tell the people with 100% accuracy, certainty, is that in the last few years, Richland Center turned a corner from, there are brands, there are chains out there who had no interest in Richland Center, who do have interest now. And a couple of them have gone from not calling us back to reaching out. And the challenge here, and this is a real deal, guys, the challenge here is usually availability of buildable land that they want, or their ability to negotiate a lease where they would like to go. And if you look around town, and now I want you to think, I'm not talking about if Phil and I decided to own a local business. I'm talking about maybe a publicly traded nationwide chain and how they think they're going to want to be where there's a lot of traffic. They're going to be real specific. If we come to your town, this, this, and this. And if you tell them no, they go somewhere else or they don't go at all. When when you look here at places that you can build a new store on that are going to have a lot of traffic, that are going to meet the demands of corporate America. We don't have a lot of choices. That's the reality, because a lot of land here is floodplain classified by FEMA, and a lot of land here is just more expensive than other places because of the terrain, because it's hilly. If they have to do a lot of excavating, that just increases their costs. And what's going to happen when the costs go up is they'll either decide not to go to that town, or they'll come to the municipality for money. And so you tell me, get me this store and get me that store, I'm with you 100%. But then if I have to tell you to get that or to get that, your property taxes will go out this much. The conversation tends to slow down a little bit because there's a responsibility on both sides of that. I want this to be a message of optimism, though. I'm simply trying to provide accurate information to our people. So, yeah, there are some challenges here that other municipalities don't tend to face because of the terrain. That's just the reality of things. However, there are some opportunities. I've said this for a while. We are working with some of them. We've made some really good progress, too. I will say it this way. 1, 2, 3, 4 different industries. I will say nationally recognized businesses have expressed interest in Richland Center. Now the question is, you know, what does their board decide to do? Okay, they have interest, but when push comes to shove, I mean, we had a scenario where we had a company very close, and when it got to the last sign off, the board went a different direction, which had nothing to do with us. They went after bigger towns for a while, had nothing to do with Richland Center.
The board, as you say, is from that corporation.
Yep, from corporate board, yeah. not city.
Right.
The corporate board just made a different decision to go after a different size market for a while, and we can't change that decision from here. But they didn't tell us to stay away forever. They said, call us in the spring, and I will do that to see if they have interest again, because they liked Richland Center. Just the people who get to decide on behalf of the corporation went a different direction when the time came. And that's just, that stuff happens. That's why you can't, you can never look away from economic development in a small community. Never. Because nothing's done till it's done. I don't care who you are. Until it's signed, until it's built, until they open the doors, it doesn't matter who's talking to who or what rumor you want to grab onto. It doesn't mean anything until it's done. And the complexities, you know, getting the land available, are there city utilities there? And if not, what are the costs? Did the DNR come and look at that land? Because years ago there was such and such on it and there was contaminated soil. Don't know yet. It's on the highway. The Department of Transportation has to sign off on any other entrance points, or if there's going to be any controlled intersection with lights or a roundabout. Did that happen yet? Oh, by the way, you need to fund a traffic impact study. That's about $25,000 before they'll even come and look. They can't get to you for 3 months, and it's going to cost $25,000, and you might not get your store. Does the city want to fund that? These are simple examples. There's a lot more. But myself and all of us, I can tell you the city council wants to sign off on all of this stuff and do victory laps. Who wouldn't want to? So we've got a committed group down there trying to get them done. We just got to let it play out. But the good news is we are no longer a place that people do not want to talk to or talk about. We are now a place trying to figure out how to get them in.
Well, I know the recent talk was, a grocery chain came to Viroqua. But I think a totally different scenario, because they had pretty much everything set up for them, didn't they?
Yeah, and I just had a conversation. I've got a pretty good relationship with the mayor of Viroqua, Justin Running, and I talked to him within the month, and they fell into that. He would tell anybody. This is exactly how he said it. They weren't even talking to a grocery chain. They did not know a grocery chain was even looking at their community. And they walked in the door and said, we represent this chain here, and we just bought property, and we need locates for soil borings. Hi. And they all looked at them and said, you're who? We're this place. You what? Yeah, we're coming if. And the city, you know, was in the process of losing a store. Quillen's had announced they were closing. And so they just said hello, and it was the easiest thing ever, and a lot of good fortune involved. And what he said to me, this is the mayor of Viroqua, said to me, He said, any elected official that takes credit for that is lying. We fell into it. And I know it's true. Okay, that's not a judgment of anybody. I just know it's true. And I know him well enough to know he's telling me the truth. But I also know it's true from having talked to the same chain plenty of times. And it's just the way, it's the way things can go. It's a great example of the way things can go. When Quick Trip built their store downtown, they didn't come to the city and say, give us $1 million. They bought the land and built the store. And so, you know, city officials were thrilled and should have been, but they can't say we did it, but it's there.
Stay tuned for the second half of today's morning show program on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE. Coming up, though, in just a moment, we'll have a look at today's news.
Dreams long enough, but it's never too late. Now is the time to set those plans into motion at All American Do It Center. Is your dream a new kitchen, a new bath, a garage or shed, or construction of a brand new home? Our experienced design team will bring those dreams to life with a full home design, 3D renderings, or a 3D walkthrough. See store for details. Contact the experienced design team at All American Do It Center in Thomas, Sparta, and Richland Center.
Good morning. News Time today is sponsored by Court and Main Furniture and Mattress, helping you create the home you can't wait to come home to. Partly sunny and cool today, a high of 21, a low down to 8 tonight. Right now in Richland Center, it is 9 degrees.
This President's Day, discover the perfect piece for your home at A-Plus Furniture and Mattress Outlet. From February 10th through 21st, for $7.99, you can choose from the Simple Joy Sofa and Love Seat to relax in style, the Bullenberg Dining Table with four chairs to bring the family together, the Lavenhorn Reclining Sofa with a drop-down table for ultimate comfort, the Hyena Full or Queen Panel Bed with dresser, mirror, and nightstand for a complete bedroom refresh. Your choice for just $7.99 plus tax and delivery. Visit A-Plus Furniture and Mattress Outlet at 172 South Church Street, Richland Center, where comfort meets community. Sale ends February 21st.
With news, I'm Phil Nee. Absentee ballot deadlines are approaching for Wisconsin's February 18th spring primary. Starting today, 2 weeks before Election Day, clerks can begin to issue in-person absentee ballots at the clerk's office or another designated location. The in-person absentee voting process, sometimes called early voting, involves a voter both requesting a ballot and completing that ballot on the same trip to the clerk's office or designated location. Voters need to show an acceptable photo ID when voting by in-person absentee ballot. Elections Administrator Megan Wolf said voters who still need to request an absentee ballot by mail should act immediately. Registered voters can make their requests online at myvote.wi.gov. Passenger numbers are up at Milwaukee Mitchell International Airport. The airport reached a new milestone in passenger traffic in 2023 when it surpassed the 6 million traveler mark for the first time since before COVID-19. Last year, Mitchell welcomed 6,316,245 travelers, a 5% increase over the previous record. The airport is served by a dozen passenger airlines on domestic flights, with more flights to be added this year. A press release said much of the airport's success in 2024 came from adding new nonstop flights and amenities and concessions. There'll be an event in Boscobel this Saturday to help raise funds for Feed My Starving Children Mobile Pack. Bruce Pitley is from Boscobel Area Mobile Pack and is also the organizer of the event. This is the 13th Mobile Pack in Boscobel, which helps Feed My Starving Children.
Feed My Starving Children is a Christian nonprofit organization whose goal is to eradicate hunger and starvation throughout the world, specifically in children. For those who may not be familiar with them, how do they do that? They have food packing events at locations around the country, permanent sites in Minnesota, Illinois, Arizona, and Texas, where volunteers can pre-register for a two-hour shift, and they assemble meal ingredients, and that formula is scientifically formulated for malnourished people specifically starving children. But they also take that same model on the road to events all across the country called Mobile Packs, just like the one that we have in Boscobel. This will be our 13th Mobile Pack in Boscobel, and we're really looking forward to it again. Registration for that will open on February 27th.
Bruce Pitley says that donations are accepted to help with the fundraising event, which will help Boscobel Area Mobile Pack get closer to their annual goal of $66,000.
For our annual pie auction, we do ask if people want to donate pies. That's what we really look for. We look for the pies for our live auction. And it's a really fun day, and many, many people over the years have been very loyal. They bring pies every year, and sometimes somebody will bring a cheesecake, somebody might bring some cupcakes or, you know, other similar things, and we've had a couple people over the years actually bring, like, a mystery box, so nobody knows what's in it. That's always a lot of fun, too. We also have a bake sale. If people would want to donate items for the bake sale, that would be welcome also. For people who maybe can't be there for the pie auction or can't afford to buy a pie, they can always support our cause at the bake sale.
Everyone is welcome to help support Feed My Starving Children Mobile Pack at the Pie Auction, Bake Sale, and Soup and Sandwich Lunch coming up this Saturday at St. John's Lutheran Church in Boscobel. The Soup and Sandwich Lunch starts at 11, and the pie bidding begins at noon. If you have any questions or would like to donate to the event, you can contact Bruce Pitsley at 608-485-2678 or Catherine Pitsley at 608-485-2557. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin was in Madison Monday to discuss funding she secured for the Wisconsin Opioid Overdose Response Center. The Wisconsin Democrat says that could now be in jeopardy because of a federal funding freeze issued by the Trump administration, calling it an unconstitutional or illegal power grab. Baldwin has also called on her Republican colleagues in the Senate to remind Trump that they are the ones who write laws and budgets. The center is set to open this year, providing educational information on overdoses and fentanyl testing strips to community pharmacies across the state. Will sues the WIA over high school sports transfer rules. That's in the news today.
The Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty accuses the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association of illegally interfering in the business of publicly funded and administered sports groups. This is after a student who was forced to go from private to public schools due to an illness in her family was blocked from joining the Baraboo softball team. The girl's family requested a waiver and was denied. A Will spokesperson says the girl's family pays school taxes and lives in the district, and the WIAA has overstepped its bounds as a private organization. The WIAA is declining to comment due to the lawsuit. Raymond Newpert, Wisconsin Radio Network.
The American Red Cross is encouraging you to give blood or platelets during its upcoming drives. There's an opportunity today, in fact, from 12:30 until 5:30 at the Lone Rock Community Building. That is happening today. The second will be on Wednesday at Wisconsin Heights High School. There's one Thursday in Baraboo, and the fourth of the week coming up Friday from noon to 5 at St. Anthony and Philip Parish Center in Highland. You can schedule a time to give by using the Red Cross Blood Donor app, visiting Red Cross blood.org or calling 1-800-RED-CROSS. That's 1-800-733-2767. A reminder, there will not be any deliveries of Wisconsin State Journal newspapers today. Evidently, there was a problem overnight with the computer system in Madison, so no deliveries in the area for the Wisconsin State Journal.
Keeping your vehicle running at its best is easy with GM certified service from Jones Chevrolet. From oil changes to tires to brakes and multi-point inspections, Jones Chevrolet has the expertise, technology, and convenient hours to take good care of your vehicle. For the very best GM certified service, make an appointment soon by calling 647-3788 or stopping at Jones Chevrolet, Highway 14 East, Richland Center, or visit JonesChev.com. Chevrolet, together, let's drive.
Partly sunny and cool today, a high of 21, partly to mostly cloudy and brisk tonight, and a low of 8 degrees for Wednesday 31 with a 30% chance of scattered light snow later in the afternoon, possibly mixed with sleet or freezing drizzle. Also Thursday 35, 25 Friday, and everybody keeping their eyes on Saturday as well. Snow likely most of the day, 2 or 3 inches expected. Right now we're at 9 degrees in Richland Center. After
after the daytime high yesterday of 33 and a midnight reading of 24 degrees.
Get ready for a night you won't forget. Howl to Go Dueling Pianos is coming to events at Castle Rock on County G on Saturday, February 8th. These dueling piano masters will have you singing, dancing, and requesting your favorite songs all night long. Tickets start at just $45 and include dinner and the show. But hurry, tickets are selling fast. Don't miss this epic night of live music and interactive fun. Visit events at castlerock.com to grab your tickets today. That's events at castlerock.com. See you at Castle Rock for a night to remember.
Sports Time is sponsored by Simon's Recreation Complex, Richland Center's public indoor swimming pool and fitness center, and by the Homesteader Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. Coming up, a look back at high school sports last night, a busy night coming up tonight as well, and the Bucks were dismantled on the road last night.
LS Tractors are a great tractor at a great price. Hi, I'm Rick from the Homesteader Store. The fastest growing tractor line in Wisconsin is LS Tractor, part of the LG Group of Companies. These high-quality four-wheel drive diesel tractors are one of the best values in compact tractors. They have silky smooth hydrostatic transmissions. They offer great financing. You can go to our website where you can watch a short video where I go through the different sizes of LS tractors to fit your needs. Learn about the full line of LS tractors at Southern Wisconsin Tractor Experts, the Homesteader Store.
Barneveld won a girls' basketball game against River Valley last night by a score of 52-37. The host Blackhawks played well throughout, trailing 15-5. River Valley came back to lead 25-24 at halftime. Barneveld trailed 28-26, but then went on an 18-0 scoring run. They would take the lead for good and not give it up the rest of the way. River Valley was led in scoring by Ella Myers with 13, and Brooklyn Stokes added 11. Barneveld was led in scoring by Isabel Durst with 24. She recently scored her 1,000th point for the Golden Eagles. Bryn Meyer with 14 and Aaron Lassie 7 last night. The Golden Eagles won the JV game 44-35 over River Valley. Elsewhere, Riverdale fell to Highland last night, 59-50, and they fell to 10-9 on the season. Zuri Dennis led the team with 16 points. Lily Barr scored 13. Highland improved to 8-11 on the season. Adeline Esser led the Cardinals with 23, including 4 three-pointers. Kate Terrell and Sophie Terrell had 11 and 10 points apiece. Elsewhere last night, a win for River Ridge over Boscobel in girls basketball, 65-14. Cuba City, 74-62 over Platteville. In boys basketball, it was Ithaca getting a win on senior night over Iowa Grant, 63-45. Devin Iam led the Bulldogs with 14. Cody Burns, 13. Sammy Clary, 10. River Ridge with a 77-36 win against Boscobel. Hillsboro, 76-39 over Lafarge. Royal, 64, Mauston 41, Mineral Point 79, Lancaster 50, Cuba City 54, Platteville 41, Westfield 76, New Lisbon 42 as well. It was Belleville over Wisconsin Heights 72-42. On tonight's schedule, we'll be on hand at Richland Center High School, and the Hornets play host to Westby in boys basketball. Other games, Fenimore at Lancaster, Sparta at Viroqua, and Stoughton at Reedsburg. Riverdale plays at Kickapoo. Boys basketball, the JV game gets underway today at 4:30 in varsity to follow. Girls basketball, Southwestern at Mineral Point, Riverdale at Iowa Grant, Boscobel visits Cuba City, Darlington at Fenimore, Brookwood at Cashton, Nisida at Royal, Barneveld is at Dodgeville, Ithaca at Kickapoo, DeSoto at Lafarge, Seneca at Wazika Steuben, Wisconsin Heights at Waterloo, and Potosi Cassville at Lancaster. The Bucks were beaten on the road at Oklahoma City last night, 125-96. The game was more one-sided than that. The Thunder had a 41-point lead, 116-75, at the end of three. Milwaukee was playing without its marquee stars, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Damian Lillard, Chris Middleton, and Brooke Lopez. The score was 39-22 after one quarter, and Oklahoma City toyed with the visitors the rest of the way. The Bucks' record falls to 26-22. The next game is at Charlotte, coming up on Wednesday night. A spokesman for the Bucks says the franchise considered but did not submit a bid for a WNBA team. The deadline was January 30th. Team ownership had indicated interest in bringing a women's pro team to Milwaukee as recently as October. A group from Detroit submitted a bid last week. Officials with the WNBA have announced the league will add one more team, the Golden State Valkyries, for the 2025 season. Teams in Toronto and Portland will join in 2026. For the first time in 10 weeks, the Marquette Golden Eagles aren't among the top 10 teams in the AP College basketball rankings. A loss to UConn knocked the team down to number 11. Both Marquette and Wisconsin return to action tonight. The Golden Eagles play at St. John's, and the Badgers will host Indiana. And that is an update on sports for this Tuesday morning. I'm Phil Nee. Why should you join Simon's Recreation Complex? It's not about their modern equipment or great exercise classes or even the comfy swimming pool. It's about how you can get the best out of your 50-plus body now and for the rest of your life.
Sometimes that happens. When Dollar Tree decided to build a new store, their representative came to see me at my day job. And actually lied to me, said, "I'm here to buy a Polaris Ranger. Can we go out in that outbuilding and would you show it to me down at Vitesnik Power Sports?" We get into the outbuilding and he identifies himself and says, "This is who I'm with. And by the way, if we buy that piece of land, will you change the zoning so we can build here?" And I'm just, we didn't, they did it that way. So sometimes you get lucky.
Did you make him buy a Ranger then?
No, yeah, that never happened. Weird that part of it happened. But those things happen. That both things can happen. You can do everything right and not win it. But things beyond your control, and you can wake up one morning and somebody says, "Here we are." And both things are true. But the way to get it done, the way to get lucky, is to prepare for it. So you have to have, you know, available land when you can. You have to know, meaning that, you know, myself, the mayor, the city administrator, the economic development director, the city council, they have to have some knowledge in advance, right, of what it's going to take to do one thing or another and be as prepared as possible so that you can get a little bit lucky if somebody shows up. But the other side of that, and this is true of the elected people and the people who live here, you got to learn how to ride the waves and surf a little bit sometimes, because you can do every single thing you've been asked to do. You can maybe have a store go somewhere else and then call you back and say, "You did everything right. This is not about you. You guys were great. And don't lose our number, because there might be a next time. You guys were great." But nobody wants to hear that message. But it still happens. You got to take the wins and the losses, and you have to be consistent with the approach to economic development. Most people don't understand this. The city needs to constantly reach out, but corporations decide where they want to go much more often than a community calling them and pleading with them to come there. Once you have them on the phone or whatever, that's when you have to have been prepared so that you aren't putting obstacles in front of the deal. That work has been done at the city in the last few years, and we're in a much better position than we had been. That's because we added an economic development director, and because we have taught the city council. They've been through some of these now, and this is how this goes. So the next time, be ready. And they are. They're ready to go. And we finally got the agreement to finish Panorama Estates. Great example. That took years to hammer that thing out, and it got hammered out. And you just, persistence is key. And just understand, people, that we do have some opportunities out there, and we're doing everything we can do and should do on behalf of the people who live here to get them done.
One of the things you said earlier, you know, it was interesting when you were talking about our forefathers and when they were drawing up the counties, and where Richland Center is the only major city. You know, it makes me wonder if back then they didn't think Richland Center was going to grow more and be even more of a major city.
There had to be some politics somehow, because why would you do what they did? If you look from today's perspective, there's no reason to draw the counties the way they're doing. There really isn't. Why would you put, here's the river that's a border, but over there it isn't? And I don't know. I really don't know if they thought Richland Center would be 15,000 people by now, or if they thought, whatever, Viola, Cazenovia, anywhere, sure. Gotham, who cares, anywhere, would take off and grow. I mean, understand, we're talking about, 150 years ago or more. I don't know when the counties were drawn, 19th century. And who knows what they saw from that point, from that vantage point. But, yeah, but from today's viewpoint, there's no doubt that it's tough. It made it tough. It's hard. I mean, if you just think about Richland County's terrain. You got to remember, that's the issue. That's the issue. It's beautiful here with our hills. Beautiful here. But it makes it a lot harder to build and grow. Okay? And then by today's state laws, when you enter the term net new construction into the conversation, which means if you don't get new buildings, you don't add money to the tax base, basically. Well, that obviously, think about it. That just naturally favors metro areas. Milwaukee, Madison, La Crosse, Eau Claire, Fox Valley, they get things because they are where they are. Okay. And these cities that happened to be along where the interstate went. I mean, there was a time when Wanakee had 2,000 people. That's in 1970. They had just over 2,000 people. They're going to hit 20,000 soon. And look at Baraboo and look at Reedsburg, was the same size as Richland Center when my parents were in high school. Okay, and Toma, and Sparta, and so on and so on.
A lot of them were in Richland Center's conference.
They were.
In the high school conference.
The South Central Athletic Conference. Mm-hmm. They were the same size, so they were in the same high school sports conference. And the interstate went where it did, and look at the impact. And didn't go where it didn't go. And then you look at Richland Center at 5,100 people. Verroque was, 4,000, just over that. Westby's not that. You know, I mean, Lone Rock actually has had some pretty impressive growth and is not 1,000 people. And that's just luck of the, I mean, none of us did that and none of us can change that. But what we did change is our approach to economic development, and we became much more aggressive about it. And now, I'm hoping that as more of this, spirit of collaboration, persists in the community, that maybe we can, not just be the city having that attitude, but let's get the county having that attitude with us. And I think that's coming. And, you know, Let's think. If you're going to build a new municipally owned building, yes, it needs to be where it makes sense, but don't put it where you could have attracted a business. Don't put it where you could have put nice new homes. You know, mm-hmm. Everybody get on the same page. And that's where that work has been done and is being done.
I think about some of the things that you've talked about, though, it really could have a domino effect. You know, if you get more housing, more population, the city grows, and you're going to probably see more interest from outside entities.
And it will happen. And that is so part of the reason that we are getting interest we hadn't been getting. The first one was the fact that we actually hired someone that was responsible for economic development, that, you know, we've invested. And that shows something to these corporate entities. But, yeah, they want to see some growth. And, obviously, I mean, Richland Center has about 50 more people than it had when I was a kid. So that was a problem. That was a problem. If it persists, it will remain a problem. That's why I make sure to say, hey, there's 92 new apartments coming, and we're working on 23 new houses. Put two people in every one of them. Let's do the math here. 115 new homes times two people in each one, 230 people. When's the last time that many new people came to town?
You'll have to go out with your spray can and change the population.
That's right. That's right. I'll send Phil down there. And sign's close here.
Yeah, it is.
Down the road there. But, I mean, that's the spirit in the community government, the city government, and now it's the county government, I would say, too, and really even the schools. And not just Richland School District. I talk about them because when you're talking about city taxpayers that I represent, that's the district that Richland Center's in. But I have no doubt, you know, the other districts that serve Richland County, if they saw benefit to collaborating on one thing or another, there's no doubt they would, because they're all facing the same budget. It, honestly, schools are facing budget crises, it's not funny. And so any way that any of them could be involved too, I'm sure they would do that. And that's, if you live here and you pay taxes here, that's what you should be looking for.
Well, we've talked a lot about some things, you know, kind of in the outskirts of town, but the downtown, you know, truthfully, your downtown businesses are doing better than some communities, aren't they?
They are, and that really, it's an interesting thing. If you are thinking of downtown Friday nights in the 1970s, you're going to forever be disappointed, because that era is gone. And you can't pin that on Richland Center. That era is gone from everywhere. If you think back then, everybody took a paper paycheck, stood in line in a bank.
Your milk check.
Absolutely, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And took the kids down with them, and mom went grocery shopping, and dad went to the hardware store or got his haircut or whatever, and the kids went. Schultz Brothers, Rexall, all music shops, spending money all over the downtown. And I loved it. We all loved it. Go to the movie, whatever, all loved it. Well, okay, paper paychecks are pretty much gone. Online banking. First big box, which in Richland Center meant Walmart, but it could have been Target, it could have been Best Buy, they're all over. Then Amazon. And don't tell me that you don't shop on Amazon, because most of you would be lying. Okay, so if you shop online, you shop in the big box. That's what changed downtowns everywhere, okay? But what has happened in recent years, and Richland Center is a great example of it, entrepreneurs, local families got off the mat and said, what can we do? Think of it this way. What can we do to make a living that they don't do on Amazon? That's why you see restaurants. We have more food choices than we may have ever had, okay? That's why, because you can still earn a living selling food. Fresh, you know, a prepared meal. You can't order, you know, a pizza from Nate's downtown on Amazon. You can't order Chinese from one of the places in town on Amazon or TKO or any of that. There's a furniture store doing well in town. You're not going to pick your couch off the web. Most people won't do that. There's a jeweler in town that'll custom make jewelry for you. You can't do that on the web. Things like that. That's what took root in our downtown. It didn't hurt. Obviously, that the Phoenix Center is now in town instead of on. That helps, too, brings traffic into the downtown. And as you look around, Richland Family Restaurant, that was a shuttered country kitchen for years, thriving now because some people bought it, invested, and came up here and said, we're going to do this. And so, yeah, there's a lot more traffic downtown than there was 10 years ago. It's not comparable. And I think this community should be proud of that and grateful to those families, the folks that own the locker who expanded down there, things like that. Yeah, it's had a positive impact on the community. There's a bike shop, and there's a coffee house, and there's a bakery, and think about it. Again, local people doing stuff that you either can't or aren't likely to buy online. And that's the key to rejuvenating a downtown. And I'm not telling you that ours is done and everything's perfect. I'm not. I'm telling you to focus on the positive. It's so much better than it was at one point. The corner's been turned. Just got to keep it going.
Oh, the time is going by pretty fast, isn't it?
Yeah, there's that old song, accentuate the positive.
Yeah.
Isn't that truth? The truth? And shouldn't we always try to keep that in mind? Winter in Wisconsin can drive people crazy, right? It's cold. It's dark early. It's windy, all of that. Well, we're halfway through, guys.
Right.
And I was just telling Phil off the air, the next time I'm here, which is, you know, it's just a month. I come once a month, first Monday of the month. And the next time I'm down here will be a few days from setting our clocks ahead. Just my next appearance on the air here. And two appearances from now, just two, we're into early April. It is spring. The grass will be green and the Cubs will be in last place. So we have that. I mean,
watch it now. Watch it.
But really, I mean, if you break it down like that, there's only four seasons in every year, and they don't add extra weeks in any given year. So 52 weeks a year, which means each season gets 13 weeks. It doesn't matter which one. It doesn't matter. It just feels like winter takes forever in Wisconsin, and it feels like summer was about 2 weeks long.
Yeah.
But they both get 13 weeks, and so does the spring, and so does the fall. So break it down. We're halfway through the winter. We should be through the coldest days. You know, time will tell. That's not always true. But we should be through the coldest days, and in just a few weeks now, it'll be early March, then we move the clocks ahead, daylight a little longer, and you can really feel spring coming. In other words, we're almost there, guys.
On the downhill side, spring elections coming up, too.
Don't forget about that. And there is a primary this year. I can't remember these. There's a state issue, so there is a primary. And then we will have our spring election in early April here for city and county seats here. But always kind of try to keep that in mind, that those are always coming, and pay attention. I mean, if you're going to have a successful representative government, you have to participate, guys. You have to show up, vote, ask questions before you do. And don't be afraid to run for office. I'll tell you this. It's not easy. Don't let anybody tease you. It's not easy, but it's worth it. It's so worth it. And I think it's one of the things in my life that I'm most glad I actually went ahead and did. Instead of just talking about it, I did it. And someday, you know, I've announced I won't run again. So my term will end in April of 2016. I'll be done in mid-April of 26, which means, for among other things, we'll need a new mayor then in the city. Don't be shy. Get yourself involved. Come to some meetings. Get yourself on a ballot. It's not easy, but it's worth doing.
Yeah, meeting's coming up. You'll have office hours today, right?
Yeah, when I leave here, I'll be down at City Hall. I've got a lot of meetings scheduled today, I think more than a typical Monday, and I'm, that's good because they could be some pretty impactful things today. But, yep, that's true, and then City Council meets tomorrow night.
Any big concerts this year? No Rolling Stones or anything like that?
I mean,
not in the city. I mean, that you'll be going to.
Yeah, Kim and I try to do one every year. And what we're talking about, and I can't remember the date, late summer. Like Labor Day era, coming to Milwaukee, Billy Idol and Joan Jett.
Ooh, there you go.
And we might do that. One of the first concerts I went to, the second one I ever went to, was the last day of school my junior year. So late May, 84, Billy Idol was at what was then the Dane County Coliseum. And because, just think about that. So the class of 84's last day of high school ever was Billy Idol. And half of this town was in that Coliseum. I can't believe how many kids from Richland Center were in that concert. And I was there with a bunch of my friends. And, you know, I was so into that sound back then. And to do it again now, yeah. I'll be 58 by then, and to stand there and do that. Yeah, I think we probably will.
Are you going to wear leather then?
Kim will.
Kim will. thank you, Mayor. Appreciate it.
Phil, thanks for having me on. I'll see you in early March.
Always a pleasure. Yep. Mayor Todd Coffin will join us on the morning show.
Car or SUV, or performing vital maintenance, repairs, adding accessories, or even emergency help with your vehicle. New Chevrolet vehicles are coming in weekly. Stop in and see one of our friendly sales professionals to see what's on the way, on the lot, or even custom order one the way you want. Go to JonesChev.com to see what's available or set up an appointment. You can even fill out the secure credit application and get pre-approved for a competitive interest rate and lock it in. Jones Chevrolet Richland Center, over 100 years of being